Live from the assembly rooms at the Edinburgh Fringe, Lee Mack and friends. And your compere for this evening, Mr. Lee Mack.
How are you? It's great to be here, and what fantastic music to walk on to. Franz Ferdinand, what a great band. Named, of course, after the Archduke Franz Ferdinand, who was assassinated in 1914, which led to the First World War, which in itself led to the Second World War, the rise of fascism and Hitler, and the death of 55 million people, including 6 million innocent Jews. Let's hear you. I say, don't you know? You say, you don't know. Tough crowd. It's nice to be here. My name's Lee Mack. Tell you a bit about myself. I'm up here with my girlfriend, or should I say fiancé. Doesn't bother me, she'll never marry him. We drove up yesterday from London. I hate driving. In fact, I hate everything to do with cars. I don't know anything about them, you see. All I do know is apparently the bigger the car, the smaller your willy. I've got a Mini. So I have to drive a really big car. But I never understand what Jeremy Clarkson's on about. You know. If I said to you, shit out for tango, you'd probably say to me, excessive rear end flange injection and overly keen knocking valves. No, I wouldn't, Jeremy. I'd say, has it got a cup holder? Will it make birds touch me, Willie? The day that I buy a brand new car is when they've got the honesty to just do a proper advert and just come on TV and just go, the new Audi Doody. It's quicker than walking and you won't have to sit next to a poor person on the bus. There'll be no dodgy stuff tonight, you'd be pleased to hear. I don't know if we've got any Americans in tonight. I'm honestly not going to take the mickey, that's not the idea. Genuinely, is there any Americans in? We're not going to do any cheap stuff tonight. Whereabouts are you from?
Los Angeles.
Sorry?
Los Angeles.
No, I heard you. I'm waiting for you to applaud at the end of the sentence. God bless you for putting your hand up thinking we weren't going to take the piss. Well, he said he wasn't going to, but surely that's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the first act?
Yeah!
Radio 2 listeners, you will know this gentleman from Parsons and Naylor's pull-out sections. Please put your hands together for the brilliant Mr. Andy Parsons!
Thank you very much. Of course, Saddam Hussein, he is about to go on trial. Thank you very much. I wasn't expecting to get a laugh for that. He's about to go on trial with his cousin, Chemical Ali. Now, there have been some worries, haven't there, as to whether they'll get a fair trial or not. I have to say the chances of you getting a fair trial when you're called Chemical Ali does seem to be a little limited. I'm no lawyer, ladies and gentlemen, and I would have thought the first question should be, why are you called Chemical Ali? And he'll be there going, well, I quite like conical flasks in the periodic table. You want to talk to Nuclear Ali? He's the real bad man. But now the government want us to have an ID card, want us to spend £93 on a card that we carry around, which has extra information on it, such things as fingerprints and iris scans. Now, I don't know about you, but I tend to carry my fingers and my eyes around with me anyway. I'm not sure I need a card. They also want us to have facial scans on these cards. Now, the technology is such at the moment that 30% of the time, these facial scanners apparently won't actually recognise your face. You don't want to be there at immigration desperately trying to remember the face you pulled when you had the card done. Yes, we have just had the G8 summit up here in Scotland. Now, Bono and Geldof, they were pleased with the aid package. But you still see some people, don't you, who are wearing their, like, their little Gap jacket, little Nike shoes, still wearing the Make Poverty History wristband. And I'm thinking, I don't think you've quite got the concept of what's going on here. Not those wristbands are a great fashion statement, are they? Look like you've just come out of hospital. Or maybe left something in your locker at the swimming pool. We want proof, ladies and gentlemen, that money won't make you happy. Take the case of the Walmart Asda billionaire who died last month, worth billions of pounds. He died in a plane crash involved with what was called a homemade plane. Now, there are some words that should never go together, aren't there? Homemade and plane are two of them. Maybe high voltage and toy. There's a couple more. Self-assembly and gas oven. Ladies and gentlemen, I've enjoyed your company very much. We have just had the International Athletics. Now, my feeling, if there is drugs, don't ban them, separate them, right? Those people who are on drugs, they have their events. Those people not on drugs, they have their events. Because let's face it, if some idiot wants to pump themselves full of rubbish and run the 100 metres in 4 seconds, we'd like to bloody see it. Thank you very much. Here.
Andy Parsons! Do you know what I found out the other day? Do you know what the most amount of points you can get in Scrabble on your very first go is? 147 points. Do you know what that word is? Squeezy. Squeezy gets you more points than any other word. And I found this out because my mate got it on his first go. I was devastated. But I got the last laugh. Because in the next two goes, I had the letters that made up the words easy, peasy and lemon. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, come on, Lee, that's impossible to get all those letters in a straight line on a game of Scrabble. But I'll tell you what I told him. It's my bloody house. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to put your hands together and welcome onto the stage a lady who's doing a brilliant show here called Happiness. I know you're going to love her. Please welcome the brilliant Lucy Porter!
Hello, I'm Lucy. I'm the shortest act on the bill, which I know you can probably see that, but I thought it might make it more interesting for the listeners at home, because I'm only 5 feet tall, which sometimes people are really patronising because they come up to me and they go, oh, it must be so hard being a little person. But it's actually not. It's brilliant, because you know in summer, when you see kids running up and down the beach naked, that's when I get my clothes. And also, I'll tell you another brilliant thing as well, is I found a way that I can reverse the ageing process, right? And I don't need surgery or anything. What I do is I just paint my face like a tiger and everyone thinks I'm six. So it is lovely to be here. I'll tell you why it's particularly lovely to be at the festival, is because now, in all the comedy clubs, it's the hen and stag night season. Have you ever walked into a nightclub and just looked round and thought, my God, all the women in here have slipped Rohypnol into their own drinks? Just lying there going, take us, it's fine, right? And then when the hen nights get drunk, it tends to be very predictable. It's like sort of they go through stages, they go kind of happy, 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 crying on the stairs. Whereas with stag nights, again, it's predictable, but it's different because they go happy, 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 horny, fighty, dead. I always like it when I come here to Edinburgh, because I live in the new town when I live up here, and it's beautiful there. Like today, I was walking around and I saw this one just really amazing townhouse, and I was looking at it and I was kind of thinking, would I be happier if my life had gone differently? I hadn't really thought it through. I don't know what, you know, like say, I don't know, if I was married to a doctor called Miles, who's a really gifted surgeon but also writes beautiful poetry. We actually met, we were whitewater rafting in Arizona and my canoe got into difficulties and Miles lifted me out of the water in his big strong arms, and then we married in Hertfordshire, that's where his family are from, but we live in Edinburgh now. We've got two delightful children. We've got Tristram. Tristram's three and he's such a naughty little scamp, he really is. Oh, and then there's Jonquil. Jonquil's five and she's already absolutely potty about ponies. I don't know how I'd cope with them both really if it wasn't for Pilar. She's our Spanish au pair. She's only 21. She's from Barcelona. She's terribly sweet. She and Miles have been spending a lot of time together recently. I drink a lot. I was thinking about this, about British people and what makes British people happy, because we don't really do happiness in Britain, do we? Do you know what I mean? We don't, it's a bit of an American thing, isn't it? We're not really very happy. Like, do you remember when Paula Radcliffe won the London Marathon, right? Were the papers all full of, you know, stories about how happy she was, how elated she was? No, they weren't, because all we really wanted to know was whether she'd done a wee or a poo, wasn't it? You have been very nice to be. So you've been absolutely lovely, and I'm pleased because I'm in a bit of a weird mood because I'm giving up smoking at the moment, and you know how it's very up and down. I've done everything. I've had, you know, like that gum. That's what I've got at the moment. And I've had patches. I've had acupuncture. I've been hypnotised. I've spent so much money on giving up smoking that I'm wondering at what point is it going to be more cost effective just to carry on, you know, and possibly with the money I've saved buy a small Mexican child till I have a heart and lungs ready to go when the time comes. I just think that's my idea. Thank you so much for listening to me. Have a great festival.
Lucy Porter there, little Lucy Porter. She's only little, isn't she?
She's a fully grown woman.
You and her could go out with each other, couldn't you, you little man at the front? You could get together and you could dress yourselves up and hire yourselves out to stand on top of wedding cakes. You'd earn a fortune. Presume you're living at... What's your name, sorry, sir? Little fella, what's your name? Sorry? Rudy. Rudy. Oh, you're Scottish, sorry. I couldn't understand an actual word you were saying. My favourite accent's the South African accent. It's fantastic, isn't it? It always sounds to me like South African accent is like, you know when people record records backwards so that when you play it backwards, it sounds forwards? What's your name, mate?
My name is Stephen. I came from a Stephen. Kill your parents!
See, whereas the Australian accent just sounds to me like a record that won't quite start properly. So what do you do for a living, mate?
Work in a bank, mate. That's what I do.
How long have you done that for?
Probably about 14 years now, mate.
How long?
About 14 years, mate.
Which links me nicely to the next act. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome all the way from Australia, the absolutely brilliant Tim Minchin!
I just did a funny face. Hello out there. I just did another funny face.
He doesn't have a problem with drugs. He just doesn't do them. He's fine that his mates have tattoos, but he reckons they'll rue them. He likes going to pubs, but he hates it when the music's too loud. He tends not to go to rock concerts, cause he can't stand the crowds. But all he's ever wanted to be is a rock star on Rage or MTV. But he knows that it's not very likely. He's almost 30. He knows that he will always be a rock and roll nerd. He'll keep writing songs the world will never hear. But no, they won't be heard. He'll just keep writing. Oh yeah. But you see, the problem is he always dreamt of being a star. But he learned piano instead of guitar. Which in the 90s didn't get you very far. So while the other kids were learning Stairway, he was a piano to their forte. But he was convinced one day he'd rock the people's asses and be an icon for the disenfranchised masses and grow his hair long and rebel against the state. But just for now that'd have to wait, cause he's running late for his morning classes. And he will always be a rock and roll nerd. He'll keep playing gigs that no one knows about. Do it it sounds absurd, he'll just keep playing. Oh yeah, but you see the problem is there's not much depth in what he's singing. He's a victim of his upper middle class upbringing, so he can't write about the hood or bling bling. So he sits and imagines his girlfriend is dead to try and invoke some angst in his middle class head. But she's always fine at 9:30 when they go to bed, and he's not spent a single night in prison. He has no issues with nutrition, he has no drinking problem and no drug addiction. Unless you count the drugs they put in chicken. Really Bane, part of the scene. While the other kids like Gunners, he like Queen. He's more into Beatles than the Stones. He's more Stevie Wonder than Ramones. And he's never owned a transit van. He never shot a Sepultura fan. He doesn't know the difference between metal and thrash. He couldn't tell you nothing about Axl and Slash. He likes Ben Folds and the Jackson 5. He knows all the words to staying alive. And though he wants to be all grungy and cool, he spent 11 years at a public school. So it don't matter how he tries, he cannot hide behind his rock and roll lies. Cause you've either got it or you don't. Yeah, you'll either rock it or you won't. Yeah, you've either got it or you don't. Yeah, you either rock it or you won't. He knows that his music lacks depth, but it just can't be helped. He has nothing interesting to say, so he writes about himself. But he doesn't want to seem self-obsessed, so he writes in third person. In an attempt to seem more rock and roll, but he knows it's not working. He will always be rock and roll man. Keep writing songs the world will never hear, and though they won't be heard, he'll just keep writing. And criticize him, but he won't care, cause he wants to rock and he will never be deterred. But he'll always be a screwed up little triad wannabe rock and roll nerd. Rock and roll nerd.
I used to get into trouble at school a lot. They used to give us the table tennis bat. I used to hate that. Did you ever get that at school, the table tennis bat? But our teacher, he was very good at table tennis. He used to give us the Chinese method. Instead of actually really hitting us like that, he used to come in at funny angles and sort of go like, you know, like. But he used to look up in the air for ages and then sort of come in at funny angles. Very Chinese about the whole thing. He got the last laugh, though, because at first it didn't hurt. We were thinking, that doesn't hurt very much. But what we didn't realise, he was putting lots of spin on your bum. Right? So you thought it didn't hurt, but you'd sit on your seat and you'd whiz off, bang your head, right? Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for your next act? Yeah! Please put your hands together and welcome onto the stage the absolutely wonderful Alan Cochran!
Hello, hello. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Excellent. You seem lovely. It's really nice seeing a radio and an Edinburgh Fringe crowd. You're so polite and pleasant. It's almost like I feel if I do a dirty joke, you'd look at me as if to say, well, you've let yourself down. I've got a mate who's very posh, very educated, and a bit negative. I'll give you an example. We were once in town, and we were going to go and get a cup of coffee. But instead of saying like I would, let's go and get a cup of coffee, he turned to me, very posh, very negative. He said, Alan, let's see if we can't get a coffee somewhere, shall we? But I want one. I think probably you are a bit different from me. Like, I'll bet there's quite a few of you that have got proper grown-up jobs as well, isn't there? Like, there's probably people in this room who usually use the words like multitasking. I hate the word multitasking. For me, multitasking is more like ironing but with the radio on. Or even better, when I put a frozen pizza into the oven and then have a shower. Isn't that great when you get out of the shower feeling all zesty and clean and fresh and then... pepperoni! Been doing a bit of multitasking like the office people. Get the pizza slicer? Bloody hell, I'm like Bill Gates today. I am getting shit done. Are you fans of food here? Give us a cheer. I'm glad to hear that. I really do like my food. I'm not going to lie to you. I quite often eat to the point where I cannot breathe silently. I get carried away in restaurants or at home. If a meal's any good, I'll go, which I think I'd spell with four M's. But sometimes if a meal's really good, I'll completely lose myself in it and give them a big five Emma. Just, and I love that. That's a good noise, isn't it? We all know what that means if someone at the table does the, They're really enjoying that food. It's very easy. Sometimes you do other noises, don't you? Sometimes you hear the, which I think I'd spell HMM. But occasionally you're more surprised than that. And I would spell that double H, triple M, but that's quite hard to do without being genuinely surprised. I'll have a go now. I think it's something like, that is the noise of surprise, isn't it? That's a noise that's saying, ooh, this is much better than I was expecting it to be, isn't it? That's a noise you hear every now and again in a Wetherspoons pub, isn't it? They're really not known for their fine cuisine, are they? Let's be honest. They're really a place for a cheap pint and a poo if McDonald's have locked the toilets again, aren't they? Remember everyone used to poo McDonald's? Now some town centres, they lock the door and you go, oh, God, it's going to have to be Wetherspoons. Oh, well, we'll get a cheap Stella on the way out. And then you go, oh, actually, we might as well have a burger. And you both get your burgers and maybe they've got a new chef on. I think he's too good for the place. He's going to last a week. But both the meals come out at the same time. They're both piping hot and they're both good. And you catch yourself going, well, I'm going to go now. I have talked about food quite a lot. I'm not a huge fan of cookery. I just like the food. But I don't care how uninterested in cookery you are. I think we all know how it feels to make a sandwich that's so good you've got to text someone. Thanks very much for listening. I've been Alan Cochrane. Cheers. Good night.
Alan Cochrane! Now, I don't know about you, but I personally hate predictive texting. I cannot stand it, right? I actually wish we really spoke like that. It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Where have you been? Me? Oh, I waltzed. I watched. I mean, I wallabied. I walked to the Sharon. The shit. The shop. The shops. I walked to the shops. To bum, to pickle, to buy some beans. Just get on with it. You parrot. You pollock. You pillock. I've got this theory that that's actually what Tourette's is. People whose predictive thinking has just gone a bit wrong. Where have you been? I've just been to the It's not me. It's my predictive thinking. It's all gone wrong. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the next act? Yeah! One of my personal favourites, and I know you're going to love him. Please put your hands together and welcome onto the stage the one, the only, the brilliant Jim Owen!
Hey. How you going? Just like to move around just a little bit at the start. Trying to find the funniest part of the stage. My watch has got the date on it. Some months I've got 30 days, and others have got 31. And the ones that have got 30 days, you have to do the extra day yourself. But before you do the extra day, you always do that rhyme in your head. You know the rhyme 30 days. But you always do it twice, because you get to the end of the rhyme the first time, you go, hang on, I wasn't listening to myself. I was trying to see how quick I could do it. And you never get to the end of the rhyme. You only get to the month that you need to know, and you're all right, that's all I need to know. No point in going through the whole rhyme. Some months are easier than other months. September's very easy. You go, 30 days, how's September? Right. All I need to know. I call it a rhyme, but to be perfectly honest with you, I was never happy with it being a rhyme at school. It started out well, but towards the end sort of faded away. This is one that we learned. 30 days, how's September, April, June and November? All the rest is 31, except for February. It's got 28. Except on a leap year, it's got 29. Sometimes people are talking to you and halfway through their story, it suddenly reminds you of a story. So the whole way through their story, you're not listening to a word they're saying. You're just thinking, hurry up and finish that stupid story. Mine's next. Sometimes you start talking and you're halfway through the story and then you stop and think to yourself, where's this going? That's when people start listening too, because they're spiteful. They can see you're in trouble. Your partner's the worst person you can have with you when you're telling stories, because they know all your stories. They're sick to death. Your favourite story is the one they hate the most. Nothing funnier than seeing some guy launch into a story that he's told before. He has it with all the pauses, you know. Might be looking at his nails as he starts to tell it, you know, yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of that time I was in Vietnam. Look for the wife. She's normally in the background, topping up her gin and tonic without looking her face to say, if I have to hear this story one more time. I wish he had died in Vietnam. Amazing the way you talk to your partner. If other people heard the way you talk to your partner on your own, they would think you weren't getting on. And you can say things to your partner other people just wouldn't put up with. You look bloody ridiculous in that dress. That's what she said to me this morning. I ruined her day at the races. I said, take that stupid hat off. You're not a welder. That's my favourite joke. Because she is a welder. There's no need to take your work home with you. I might play the guitar. This song's about the it's about the little bit of talking that people do before the song. About my kids. In my kitchen, there's a drawer at the top. It's got cutlery, knives, forks, spoons. Second drawer down, it's got a big knife and an egg whip. Things that should go in the first drawer, it just don't fit. And the third drawer, down from the top, it's just full of shit. There's elastic bands and cigarette papers that won't stick. Dried up glue, false teeth, something stolen from a hotel. Things that are broken that you know you'll never fix. But you put them in the third drawer, because you just ain't got the heart to throw them away. It's the third drawer down from the top. Oh, shit. And the fourth drawdown, it's got plastic bags in it. That's it.
Thanks very much for joining us. Good night!
Lee Mack and Friends was presented by Lee Mack with Andy Parsons, Tim Minchin, Alan Cochrane, Lucy Porter and Jim Owen. It was a BBC Entertainment and Open Mic production and the producer was Will Saunders.
And next week we join Jocelyn G. Essien for Sketches and Stand-Up, featuring a power-hungry traffic warden and a bad-tempered couple running a takeaway in It's Jocelyn.
Hello, listeners of the radio.
This is the Comedy Club. Here on the radio.
Oh, it's a lot like Back to the Future.
Crack it.
Next up tonight, we haul ourselves back to 2019 to check in with what's happening at the Edinburgh Fringe this year. Catherine Bohart gets down in the trenches with the real people, joking, thriving and surviving at one of the greatest festivals in the world. This is Funny from the Fringe.
Hello and welcome to Funny from the Fringe, BBC Radio 4 Extras podcast, all about the Edinburgh Fringe and what it's really like, with interviews, gossip, top tips and more. I'm your host, Catherine Bohart, and I'll be checking in with you weekly to see whether or not you're surviving the festival. I mean, let's hope that I am too. If precedent is anything to go by, I would suggest I'm going to be pretty ropey.